over the game. Snot teaching crisps, cracks, night air been shipped. Summer's faded scars from leaky grips, bursting gnarled in frozen stone. Three souls furnace testify white, steamy, opaque. Breath is dragons working life, a scream revolt against liquid insinuating awake. Canadian ash coats my words. 81. Our folk smuggle a scruple for shadow like in bargain herald snowsuits. Sporting lost and found mittens. We little Matthew to cause the motherfuckers break vestal planes of intergalactic white, of star shingle, of elder envy. We slide down the time glazed child's minds mountains. Sometimes on rusted, scraggy office chairs, at least Sunny did. Sometimes on snow racers, three or four to a ride. We pack per beast, Calcutta, HK, our cross style, Scarborough style model. More times though, we roll tattered flakes. Cordborn anointed with backspun megaforce polish or fish cake grease trapping. Friday night uncles, home slaking, six love sketches. They would each lead us down, down, right down, down Killer's Hill, down Winter's Trail, down home. Flakes beneath, descending alabaster steep, freezing in glee, shred baby oiled faces soaked bright. We slice between knobby wrists, blue grotesque and desperate, resolute searching. Every grip smock blinding nothing with branching middle finger defiance, and bone screams of spring will see me green. Know that the spring will. Down the hill, we land on Argentine and dare the crick crack gut rumbles of sleep water waking. Inviting us to descent, we seem obliged to crash. Crick, crick crack. Memories alchemy, gossip and worry would immortalize survivors in his bronzes of hero and coward. Heartbeats and rushing ancestors quiet even silence. And to the Argentine host, we pour libation stillness. Wayside Jason laughs, laughs scared and prays sweat. Haze halos and ginger steps spirit us to quiet ground. We say nothing this time, scaling killer hair. Yo, this time make Sunny drive. Everyone laughs. And stars creep close, as if to watch. 86. Stinging cold snapshot beat Danny Chung's glove hand for the first time, or since anyone cared to remember. Sonny, who played Jim Benning, his mouth ringed with patty crumbs and freeze-dried hork, pissed his spirals into the white. Yo, Danny, he says, cupping his topaz sludge. You know you want this apple juice snow cone. 90. Home was an MCM hat, triple fat goose cop, Brooknam, New York, Flatbush Ave, smuggled task force like across King's Thornian border line, hiding Dax, 12 inches kicks, in plastic bag dowries. That goose was my lair, my five-finger discount accomplice. From Kennedy to the town center, fraternal danger eyes me on the LRT. I pull my head low and feel for my blade. Montre. Was it flame or turbo? Burner trail of Featherstone? Whole patch of new bushel? Smoking, sweating, bubbling her black on my beige leaving. 338 slug sound scattering Doppler ascension. When a body fell full of creeping cold, I hear Sunny laughing like, fuck it, star. Jill, you fall from the sky here, star. Seen big cousin turn gunman. Blue steel, great ribs. Dead heat, cool, engine block hot. Brain white getaway car, straight kilometers for a practice spike. See it there? It's all ball, falling from fucking sky. We walk down warm and easy, looking cool and deadly, walking to where we chained our bikes. 87. My snow shovels the catfish mouth, scraping a beating, graying riverbed. Work like triangle trade, deep sea dredging, or plowing straight and perfect rows. Then I, for stolen moments, am granddad, great granddad, grandma, great grandma. Walk in the ground, up in the ground, walk in the ground, call, blame up a weird plantation, landslide, oh. Hunkle, send up pumpkin from the ground, and doors from the ground, send up can from the ground. Don't forget flying fish and flanernum, I say, then dive into my cindered pyramid. 98, a bad one I recall. I step outside an evergreen sky reach, and a jungle winter pounces all eager like, teasing breath with ice asthma and insided thoughts of turning back home. I do. No differently, back home if it rain too fucking hard, they ain't leaving their gates, king. I hear Sunny say, they don't know about cold, nah. They don't know, back home, about these roots. 99, this year, I swear, I will not spend another winter like this here.
Out in Scarborough in a cafe where this is Artists in the City, and here with me is Adrian Worrell. Yeah, introduce yourself.
My name is Agent Whirl. I sometimes go by the title Griffin, and I write stuff and perform stuff. And I purposely being a little bit vague is that I try to write broadly and I try to perform broadly. And so I just kind of call myself a writer, but I do write poems, raps, short stories, all kind of stuff, essays.
So we just had heard a track called Scenes from a Winter Home. So you want to talk a little about your process of creating that album?
Yeah, sure, no problem. It's EP, I think it's 8 tracks on it. And Scenes from the Winter Home is the title track. My process basically was kind of looking through things that I've written over the years and trying to recognize a theme within them and organize them according to that theme, and then write additional pieces to try to, I guess, maybe fill in the blanks as it were. So there's a kind of loose narrative in terms of the story, a loose theme in terms of the whole EP. And typically with the older pieces I would write, I would need to be, quote unquote, people say triggered, I don't really like that term that much, but triggered or otherwise inspired or moved to write things. And so there was a certain pattern to the things that I had responded to and I'd associated with writing. So there was already kind of, like I said, an organic theme that I wanted to tease out of that. And with the theme of winter being like this kind of time of like a certain kind of desolation and sadness, but also the idea that, you know, not quite at your lowest point, but you're getting prepared for a sort of regeneration. And so that's part of the theme. Well, that is one of the major themes of that piece, and how I ended up writing it is responding to sometimes, you know, things of sadness or things of frustration and disappointment, and then also using that to kind of look for something that's going to be more restorative and more rejuvenating, i.e. like, you know, how we look at spring and summer. It's kind of in this tradition of like Ursula Rucker and Saul Williams, you know, in that tradition, not quite at that level, but in that tradition, inspired by those types, and also people locally. I remember listening to some of Afrikaans stuff to also get me along that path, but it was something.
She was just on the show.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, like kind of in that tradition of like putting words over beats. And I guess it comes from a place where of like rapping, everybody used to rap or whatever. And I often find rap difficult for a number of reasons. Part of it is kind of like, what exactly do you rap about? If you're going through this particular time, if you're not particularly thug, if you're not particularly fitting into that mainstream narrative, what can you do? And in some sense, that almost took over the craft, at least for me. I know that other people are doing other things, and thank goodness they were. So, but for me anyway, I often had this kind of a challenge as to where do you fit in terms of rap? But spoken word, it gives you more space. When people became more receptive, it seemed, to spoken word as, and that kind of blend or that hybrid, that's when I really wanted to experiment with it. And so I decided to put some pieces together, some pieces I had for a while. Like, I didn't even realize it. Listening to it the other day, I'm kind of like, this is mostly old stuff. Like, the actual poem, Scenes from a Winter Home, is I wrote it in, I think it was 2007, you know? So it's been around for a while, but to get it recorded and develop some of the performance skills to the point where I'd be close to happy with it, the way that I recorded it, it took some time, and then, you know, life happens in between. So, yeah.
So take listeners to the process of when you started writing, what inspired you to write it, kind of things. Like, was it over a series of years, or was it like a compilation? What was that process like?
Usually I write in response to triggers. Well, not usually, or I used to. You know, I try to write in a more disciplined way now, because if you respond, write only to what triggers you, sometimes you end up with a particular kind of, you know, tone, shall we say. So I just try to sometimes just write for the sake of writing. But so I took some early things that I would wrote out of as feeling frustrated or confused or wanted to get some type of order into what I was experiencing. And I just kind of put them together in a kind of collage, you know. So we're around the theme of winter. And like, yes, I was born here, but I've always had a difficult time with winter. You know, as a child, we used to try to brave it. And I've kind of gotten back to that, trying to brave winter. You know, like and try to make the most of it. But it's always been this kind of struggle, whereas summer is like, it's release, it's fun, everybody's out and about, and it's really living. Winter is kind of, it was a little different. So trying to look at it from that perspective. And so just getting these pieces together, mostly old pieces, but also a few new pieces, and wrapping them around this theme of winter, right? And one thing about winter too, we often look at it as kind of like a death, but it's also a time when you're regenerating, you know, or preparing for the next season, in a sense. So I try to work that theme through the work, the EP. Yeah.
So do you want to talk about specifically some of the tracks? What should we play for the people?
Oh, geez. I like Scenes from a Winter Home off of that, the title track. I like that piece. I think it's pretty good. Intuition, it's a track about my experience, but also how reflecting on your experience and going over and over it again can give you new insights sometimes. You know, so I like that track, even though I'm not 100% happy with it, but I generally like it for what it, the story that it tells and things that it documents in my life, in a sense. And I kind of like everything, but if that's, is that, and it's also about like, I'm kind of trying to run a 6-minute mile on a treadmill, and I didn't quite make it. I made it in 6 minutes and 25 seconds. But, you know, when you're running and you're pushing yourself to these extremes, sometimes things happen in your body and memories come out of your body in a certain kind of way. So I remember running, doing this thing, and then suddenly being taken back to, as a child, running, doing cross country at my alma mater, Silver Springs, big up, Silver Springs Crescent. And some of the things that kind of inspired us to run back then, and like how that connects to today. So those three tracks are the ones I like the most on this. But I think it's, you know, I think it's around 29 minutes, and most of it's pretty good listening, if I do say so myself. And
Scar City, baby. Scratch that. Star City. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a math class. Miss Tate say I won't pass. Fix my report card and my old man beat that ass. You ain't nothing, nah. You fucking wasting time. So slow, but to stay home, had I known you waste mine. With mine was like, fuck that. Hit the block and bail. With all the kids so real, they hold still. And faster rep. It's ball, Jesus, beast up. But crossing them slug, fuck it. Crackers hated us and hood niggas hated us all. Parents spoke loud, ain't know what to say to us later. Couldn't wait to bust, catch that 43 seat. Ran verses that track meets 8 tracks when the gaps speak. Adobe got the picture, homie, I attack beats. Can full of rap, see mask, not exactly the smooth. When it's a diamond in the rough, become its most beautiful. And ever I seen Nervica, I know what I could do to you. I been sick, been shady since guards raised me. And honeys call me midnight and tar, baby. The blue side though, don't it hide the greenest beloved. In paradise, the beast belly, who defeat us? Dreams deceive us, they're whirling invisible maze. Griffin the Minotaur, feel them. 6 million ways, I lay low. Learn their rhythm, it play like drum roll. Repetitive beats, sedative, I don't sleep. Competitive niggas gon' test you. Now they judge it with that strap, bless you. Silence, becoming like death, do I walk when it goes dark? Those papers spark in it. Stay targeted. When the blocks start shifting shit, them kids switch up and I start to learn. My light's a tunnel, training thoughts to work. In tune with that soul being holding heaps, and I know these niggas beat furnaces cause they hearts be colder. Mixed records with the kid so shattered. He answers the splinter with shock when he read it. Skip trial, no. Darwin and calculus had me doubting this. Universal law saw him expressing when I beat that charge. Six to press evidence on the jealousness or the death of kid that bit seated madness in. I studied fame and rap classics, then grew disjointed, distracted. My flow cat deserted, I faded, light refracted. Every action, have opposite reaction, man. No sparks, stay buried. Karma's a bitch and she happily married. Digging the steel though, 360, so scary. Beating the odds, slow and deep, but thoughts will repeat. And lost 10 years of sleep. This my father's dream, hear monsters creep. Green eyes, see a young professional, gentleman persona. Take breaths like karmas and shorty look up to me, not knowing I face 1 of 3. Honey's caught suddenly tween sex and hate stunting me vex. I wouldn't wipe him. No ring, no hyping. Too attached to chains, born and smoking hash, I've been. Fucking confused, knowing it's over fast. These soldiers of love, shoot for stars, kill for cash. I know, right? I know, right? Huh, what a blast. And even friends act stranger and stranger. Pretend to be love. Act brought the creep up like centipede. Think I don't feel a sting or the walls closing in? But here we go again, yeah, I'm ready to go. These memories though, have me flying out my mind. The start seeing shit I'm here trying to describe. Questions written in reality and time, is it? 828, less 202, in 2 ways to die. Didn't pull it, recognize it, testify, but would have stayed back home had I known I spread that aisle. Screaming, no leaving, no changing grades. And Father Time cursed me with wisdom and age now. Where they put me at is cold and in despair. Cause they burn hope, the smoke's still remains. No aware, no fear. Ain't it home, sweet home? Oh Canada, we breathe deep in zone. Shadow residents, patients and citizens, Scar City circle that. Pie gotta chase to death again. So till I add up, careful on the path, blood. Shield walls, stitch lyrics, brilliance can't touch. We dream to see it. Beat a thousand times to be the 100-yard dash, lead cowards by kilometers. Who ain't often with me, but still in my heart engraved. I carry the torch to spark they flame, it's one. Get it in 6 minutes. It stinks of mold too fierce to grow. Of mildewed pride, death and hope bromide. Metabolize the Morier dust, doctor's orders and arthritic abeyance. Pat chirp under finger touch, unleavened tongue rotates. Dot matrix cataracts, blink into being. Arithmetic excess, and I fly. Legs like springs, raving playthings wound compliant. By fright and forever bound trances of triumph. A worthy tyranny, high-stepping daylight anthem. Blackbird deranged, warning ecstasy. Crest rolling fingers stick, hits of rage float green over Kmart kicks. Stuff snug, two-ply thrift. Spasmodic leaks in my mind's a laughing fit. Life drum counterfeits a text metronome. Two half-man tempo, I stride, break, beat, mazayale. Butterfly legions, a light giant staple. Ignore incandescent, fatal oath to split frantic. The course grows, steep and xantic. Azure archway, fumes sanguine London. Breath come from, miser compassion. Blood soaked and barbed. Machine chirps, digital cheer. 0.46 miles, 3 minutes. Blackbirds guzzle crimson fog. It tastes of Zambezi and flows free like song.
Yeah, the Great Black North. You want to talk a little bit about that?
I completely lucked out with that. I mean, I was just somebody, I think it was my sister, was like, hey, there's an anthology getting put together. Do you want to put a piece in? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? And I just kind of, the same one, Scenes from Winter Home, I just kind of, I figured that had most to do with kind of the contradictions of being here on stolen land, you know, and the contradictions of claiming it. So I kind of got that piece together and sent it in. I wasn't really expecting much, and lo and behold, it was accepted, and I got some positive feedback on that particular poem. People said they appreciated it, and some of the things I recounted are things that they can relate to as well, and it's always good to hear that about your work, you know, that it reaches people in some ways or offends them or provokes them to whatever.
So what are you working on now?
I'm kind of like in that kind of like Dr. Dre mode where I've been working on this album for close to 3 years now. I guess it'd be around 3 years. It's called Devin's Ways, and it's like a rap opera where it's like every song is a scene in this movie about this person who's kind of just, it's hard to explain, but it's a story of contradictions in a way. And like how this person who's lived this particular life, kind of semi-street life or whatever, is trying to be free of it. That's the best way I can explain it. In other ways too, it's also a kind of retelling of certain, like a patkey of the stories of Alegua, etc. So I've woven them into the story and updated it, along with some actual semi-personal quasi-personal or biographical things, but not wholly. You know, everyone writes from their experience to some degree. And so I've kind of mixed that all in to try to tell this story and create this story that's something of a movie. That's been my goal with that. And it's been quite challenging to write because there's a lot of research I've had to do and skill development as I'm going along, as certain tracks call for certain things that I might not immediately be able to do, and I got to develop those skills, so it takes a little bit of time. The writing's been a challenge in that if I change something in one song, I got to change it in another song to create the continuity. There's several characters involved. Like, part of the thing that inspired me with this was, I think his name was Tracy Lee from back in the day, a rapper named Tracy Lee had this album, which name I can't remember, but I remember listening to a thing and it was amazing because this guy rapped in like 5 different voices, you know? And I always thought, like, man, it'd be cool. I've always been impressed by impressions, and I'm not that good at them, but I figure if I have enough cracks at it in the studio, I can pull it off, type of thing. And so I wondered how you could use that, incorporate the idea of multiple voices into this tradition of the theme of Olegwa to some degree, and to tell the story of this character. And more than just the character, I mean, there's a whole kind of cosmology behind the idea of this force personalized as Eshu Olegwa or what have you, and how this force can act in people's lives in a certain way. So that's what I've been trying to do with that piece, Devin's Ways, and it's been a little bit of a challenge, but every now and then I lose motivation, and then I pick it back up. I'm like, yo, this is some good stuff. I got to finish this. So I keep pushing, and hopefully soon I'm going to have the first draft written and then rehearse it, then put it down and have it out of my life. I'm looking forward to that day.
The process of writing your album from when you start to the end, and maybe a little bit about the recording process.
Yeah, sure. It's pretty chaotic, generally. I usually start off with a rough piece, you know, like something that's kind of like raw. And then I go through and similar to the process I applied to the whole album, I look through that raw piece for whatever themes or patterns I see in it. And I try to maybe do something with that, either to highlight them or work them throughout the piece more or whatever the case is. So I'll go through a fair bit of revision. And sometimes to actually revise it in the way that I like, and part of the reason why it's called Neoteny is like it's spelled with, also my book is called Neoteny, and it reminds me of a bit of my process to a degree. It's spelled with it, I spelled Neoteny with an E instead of with an O instead of an E, and it was because you have to hear it, right? So I'll say the poems over, I'll record them, and I'll listen back to them and say, you know what, this word would sound better here, or this type of, you know, this type of sound would sound better here. So I look for a word that would match, etc. So those are the main considerations in terms of putting my, getting my pieces together individually. And like I said, I just look for a kind of theme that's kind of already embedded in what I'm writing about and try to just expand or elaborate on that theme and organize other pieces around that theme. So that's primarily it. So it involves writing, but then also speaking and listening back, and then changing it so that it creates a particular, if you happen to read it aloud, you might notice that it's structured in a different way than it might immediately look on the page.
So how long did it take you to produce?
It took me, I think it was, it's hard to say because I didn't really work on it regularly. It was, I'm working on another thing, this album, which is very, very challenging. And so I would just kind of take time. Because I was so frustrated in the sense I couldn't finish this other project, I'd be like, you know what, I want to finish something and have it out. I want this experience, the feeling of completion of work, right? Because this other thing I was working on seemed to be going on forever, and it is. So I kind of worked at it on the downtime of this other thing. But if I said how long it would take, it might have been maybe 3 or 4 months. Because a lot of the pieces I had already, and I just kind of, you know, was reworking them. Because most of the poems I'd written there on for Scenes of a Winter Home, the EP, that's been, they're like maybe 5-6 years old sometimes, or even older. So it's just more of a kind of issue of revising than actually writing, and then finding the right background music and being able to perform it in a sense that is, you know, that kind of fits that. So I'd say it took around 3-4 months maybe. Yeah.
So what were your influences in producing Scenes?
I remember back in the day listening to the Roots album and hearing Ursula Rucker's stuff and like thinking, wow, this is cool. Because here you have this great kind of lyricism of like, you know, Black Thought and Malik B. And here you have another kind of great lyricism with Ursula Rucker. They would end their albums with her. So there was that. I didn't get on the Saul wagon. I didn't really get into Saul Williams until a little bit later. But when I heard his stuff and I listened to him, I'm like, oh, this is some potent stuff, you know? One thing that a poem I always liked, or an example of something I always wanted to do, and I just remembered this now, was Mos Def. He did a track with Jill Scott, Love Rain, the remix, where he's doing spoken word and she's doing spoken word. And Mos Def was one of my favorite rappers. And, you know, I think he was always poetic. And so I was like, wow, this guy can blend.
You were talking about a project that you have been frustrated with, and you kind of went back to scenes. So maybe talk a little bit about that project and why is it so hard right now?
Yeah. It's called Devin's Ways, and it's a story. It's I guess one of those things where it's like, you know, you try to be ambitious, but sometimes you're like, man, am I being too ambitious? You know, but it's like if I can pull it off, I'll be really proud of myself, right? So I'm trying to go for it. And it's basically a story about. It's part of the reason why it's so challenging. It's like it's four or five different stories kind of wrapped into one. In some sense, it's a partial history of Toronto, in terms of how people, certain people, not you know, or theoretical people, shall we say, responded to certain events, major events, such as the Yonge Street riot and such as certain police activities, etc. So there's that. Interwoven with that also, superimposed on it also, is the story of like Eshu Alegwa, you know, which is one of the major storytelling figures in, you know, African diasporic traditions. So, and I'm retelling the stories of Alegwa superimposed in Toronto. I've also like taken bits and pieces of my own life from my own experience, as every writer does, and put that in there as well. And at the same time, writing in this kind of really hip-hop way, where there's a lot of like samples and references to other music. Like the way that the story is set up is that this person is walking and kind of rapping, talking to themselves in a sense, as they were remembering things that actually happened, being triggered by music. And so there's a lot of things that I'm trying to accomplish with it. And you know, and there's different characters involved and different voices, etc. So it's pretty ambitious and broad, and it attempts to be comprehensive, whereas like every single song advances its plot line, you know. So well, look at it that way, it's been a bit of a challenge, but at the same time, when I pick it up back up again, I listen to it, I'm like, oh, there's good things in here. If I can just push here, if I can polish here so I can improve it, it's going to be really good. So that keeps me going, certainly.
And it seems that you kind of work, at least in the production phase, really solitary. And is there any reason why that is, and why there's not more collaboration, and if there was in the past, and if you would do that in the future?
Well, yeah, I'm a big fan of collaboration. I think it's important, you know, like the idea of the collective and how people can the energy that people get by feeding off of each other in different kind of ways, and that's important. Community, it is. People say I'm not the easiest person to get along with. I don't see, you know, I think I'm easy to get along with, but I guess most people who are called difficult, they they think so as well, you know. And like I kind of reminded myself with the name that I gave myself, such as, you know, Griffin, solitary creature, suppose it's one of the definitions of it. And I do like my own time to be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And sometimes when you're doing this type of work, it doesn't quite work that way, you know, or you'll either frustrate people or you'll be frustrated by other people who aren't on your type of timeline. So I figured for the sake of, you know, myself and everybody else, I'm just going to do this first one by myself. But if people were like, oh, let's do a track or whatever, I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. But I tend to be a little bit of a solitary person who likes solitude. You know, I have to kind of admit to that. So there's that aspect as well. It's not everybody else. It's also me. Yeah.
So maybe tell listeners about your book.
Yes, I have a book of poems called Nyatani, and it has to do with the idea of how we become and how do we grow as species and as individuals. So it comes from this kind of term from evolutionary theory. The idea is that human beings, part of the reason why we became the quote-unquote dominant species is because we take more time to develop. Like, so we have a longer, you know, like childhood. You know, if you look at, for example, a baby deer or something like that, it's born in like, the next couple of days it's out running on the savannah or what have you, or antelope, sorry. It's born in the next couple of days it's running on the savannah. And, you know, it doesn't have much time to... There's not much time for it to develop. So the things that it kind of limits its development, right? The idea with human beings is that we our development phase was delayed, so we're able to have more development, which in certain ways makes us more vulnerable, but at the same time has made us, adapting to those vulnerabilities is what helped make us the quote-unquote dominant species. And so, and generally this the kind of like theme of childhood and youth. And like the idea is like, you know, you're never supposed to fully grow up. Even as you become more mature, become more responsible, more... disciplined, you're also always supposed to keep that childishness there in a sense of like, I guess a certain playfulness, but also in a sense of a sort of innocence. And so that's kind of what that title is pointing to and reminding me of. Yeah. So that's it. And it's a similar thing where as, speaking about collaborations before, I was challenged by somebody, Zakiya Toby, you know, I don't think she'd get mad noticing her name. Hopefully you'll be interviewing her soon. Because I think she has a couple works out. And she was like, let's just write, we're going to exchange poems, you know, every week for a year. And through that, I was able to generate a lot of poems, you know, like at least, you know, 50 or so. And then I had other stuff from before. And so I applied my process to that, put it together in a book, and got it published on CreateSpace. And there it is, you know. And in the community, it's been doing pretty well, and people know that I have a book, or they see me around, like, oh, yo, you know, they support. So it's been great in that regard, and just again that feeling of accomplishment or completion, like, wow, I did something, you know, it's from start to finish, we made it, you know. So that's been great as well.
You also had a piece from your album in the Black North anthology. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh yeah, that's the same one, Scenes from a Winter Home, which I wrote. Like I said, I wrote that like maybe, yeah, I want to say 6 years ago now. And it was like responding to this idea of winter, right? Like living in Canada, if you know a lot of black people, they're like, one of the major complaints is how bloody cold it gets in the winter, right? I've met a couple of people who say they love winter and they prove to me that they love winter, but I think that they are just playing a role. I think they really hate winter, but you know, this is my suspicions. But it's like, yeah, so how do we deal with this element that we don't like, you know, about being in this place? And it also tries to deal with some of the contradictions of claiming space in this place that isn't ours. Like, you know, if you do even iota of history, you're gonna you have to admit that this land is stolen land, you know, or yeah, like no euphemizing it. It's stolen land essentially. So how do we claim stolen land? You know, so in some sense, wrestling with some of that and also remembering that we have or we've created a certain history here, and at the same time honoring that, but hopefully in a way that isn't a way that's going to I guess really kind of like overstep certain bounds, I guess, in terms, at least for me. So that's kind of what that piece was about in a sense. And yeah, so just dealing with these different kind of conflicts of these anxieties or dislikes about that come along with being on this land and experiencing on this land, you know?
And so how did you get involved in the anthology?
I think it was my sister emailed me. She has a piece in there as well. My sister, Akaji Zakiya, right? She has a piece in there as well. And she just said, hey, this is an anthology. Might as well, I know you have a couple poems, put something together, see what happens. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? What could happen, right? And lo and behold, they published it and they really liked it, you know? And they've been very supportive and very kind. Like, so they put my EP up on their website, you know? And it's been very nice in that regard.
Cool. So how can people get in your book?
Well, it's on CreateSpace. It's www.createspace.com. It's called Neoteny, Neotony. You can contact me. I'm on Facebook, which may or may not be a good thing that you actually follow me on Facebook. But or you can email me at awrrell3@gmail.com and we can be in contact.
Yeah. Cool. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
Big up Vibe Collective.
Listen to us on Vibe Collective.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're actually on the radio together.
And that does happen, yeah. And yeah, I just want to like say, like, the Toronto scene is a very interesting one. A lot of talented people. You know, I have my critiques, everybody does, but also, you know, it's undeniable there's a lot of very talented, bright people doing very interesting things, and that's inspiring in of itself. So if you're an artist and you're out there, hopefully you can tap into that energy and make something beautiful out of it.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for being on location with me, an artist in the city. Thanks a lot. Hopefully you'll come on again.
Sure. When I finish Devin's Ways, I'll be everywhere. Trust me. You'll see me. I'll be so happy when that thing is finished. You will see me. Trust me.
Okay. Oh. And you were listening to Artists in the City, and that was Adrian Worrell, and he was talking about his EP and his book and writing and all that jazz, and we were live in Scarborough. And that wraps up our show today. We're heard here every Thursday between 6 and 7:30-ish. And yeah, tune in, and hopefully everybody has a great week. We actually have an artist coming in next week from New Orleans for the Northeast festival that's going to be happening next week. So stay tuned to that, and you are listening to a Roots Reggae Radio, and have a good week.
Scholars and scientists now concede that Africa is the birthplace of mankind. Africans were the first builders of civilization. They discovered mathematics, invented writing, developed sciences, engineering, medicine, religion, fine arts, and built the Great Pyramids, an architectural achievement which still baffles modern science.
The 225th emperor, direct descent from Solomon and the Queen of Sheba.